Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become a better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and hello again, because it's been a while since we've talked. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Discussions with Delia. Happy Easter season to you if you celebrate. And I'm happy that you're listening. I'm your host, Delia Farquharson, and before we get into our topic for this evening, this beautiful spring evening, let me welcome my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Delia.
You've been missing.
I apologize for being absent here.
So, Raymond, the weather has finally broken, which is a good thing, because God knows you've
had it. It's snowing tomorrow.
No, it's not. But this show, this Discussions with Delia, because I am a social worker, was, you know, focused mainly on trying to find the mental health connections in stories, or you know, bringing mental health topics to the listening audience. And two things have happened recently in the news that really just like, whoa. And the two things are that, one, we had that airplane crash, the German Wings airplane, where the pilot, it is believed, crashed the plane deliberately into the mountain, and 149 people, in addition to himself, were killed. And as if that wasn't devastating enough, then a couple of days ago, we have the story, and this is the story that I want us to start with. We have the story of a young woman. Well, she's not that young. She's 35, mother of a two-year-old, who smothered her two-year-old child in the bathroom in a restaurant in New York City. And that's kind of where I want to start, you know, with this mother who smothered her child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have the story yet. We don't know what's going on. But I think having conversations about mental health is really important. Of course I do, right? That's what I do. I work in this field. But when we think about this young woman and this baby, and you think to yourself, okay, so she wants to hurt this baby, to kill this baby. She takes him to a restaurant, takes him into the bathroom, and smothers him there. How come? Why? How does that make sense? Right? So my belief, my deduction, my reasoning is that something is seriously wrong. Something is going on with this woman. And so because something is going on with her, that's what led her to making these decisions and doing what she did. And, you know, it makes you wonder to yourself, you know, how come? You know, I mean, really, how come? So there's speculation and there's, I don't know if it's rumors or suggestions in the news stories that she was suffered with depression at one point, and that she had, you know, that she had, you know, other conditions. You know, she was taking medication at one point, and she's not taking medication anymore. But, you know, when I read the story, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, there has to be something going on with this woman, because otherwise, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But my question is, who, you know, how did this come to be? How does this happen? You know, were there signs that were missed?
You said she must be suffering from
with
something,
something.
With something. Something must be going on because that's what explains it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, I guess as the investigation unfolds and the facts are, you know, because everything now becomes just
speculation
and talk.
But, you know, I was reading to you before about what the police officer said. One of them said she was soulless. The other one said she must be a lunatic.
Right?
Right? I mean...
But, again, I said, a three-year-old being killed...
A two-year-old
being any child, you know, is going to get that organic response, that emotional response, where, you know, people are, you know, not being politically correct, for want of a better word, and just saying what they think...
Or feel.
You know, you are first responders, you're there, you know, and you respond. No one there probably knew, or I don't think, know anything about her life, what she's going through, history, and so on. So, as those pieces backfill and explain and probably help to answer questions, how come, why didn't, you know, I saw the husband being interviewed. It didn't sound as if he knew or could I, you know, that she had any illness or was aware of any.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so many little pieces that a couple of things don't make sense. Why she did what she did, it must be something going on with her. But then why wasn't he aware of that? You know, so I don't know. I mean, the fact that a little baby died still sits in the middle of it. But at the same time, as you said, the concern, the issue, the awareness of, you know, not a physical illness here, but a mental illness that has, it repeats itself, it happens in so many different circumstances, and what is it that's being done? How is it that people are being helped? What could be done differently? Who play these roles on so many different levels, not just clinical people, not just physicians, not just mental health providers. It's bigger than that. It's family, it's community, and so on and so forth. So I hear it.
But you know what? I'm saying then, you know, and part of it is just that, because one of the things that we talked a lot about on this program is the stigma associated with mental illness,
right,
and mental health. And so it is horrific. I mean, I feel just like the next person about how horrific this is, that a little boy, a little baby was killed. But it brings attention to the fact that this is a person that was clearly in need. I was reading to you before that on her page, on her Facebook page, now that they're looking at it, it was seen that she was becoming increasingly agitated or, you know, distraught. You know, just the things that she was putting on her page and stuff like that show that she was having some, you know, she was having some difficulty. She was feeling bad, you know, a lot of inspirational stuff, a lot of stuff that says, you know, one of the quotes I read, you said, you know, how did I went to bed, and 4 days ago I was fine, and now I went to bed and things are not going so well, right? And so I'm saying to myself, and this is what we talked a lot about, is the role of the support system, the role of family. Because you cannot tell me that nobody noticed that this person was getting distraught. And it's kind of the same thing with the German Wings plane pilots. You know, and because... if he was diagnosed in 2009 with depression, the same condition that this young miss is diagnosed with, what if anything, did Lufthansa and Germanwings do in terms of monitoring his mental health over these many years? Right? Have they monitored it in the same way? And who that's in his circle, in his network, notice anything different or, you know, change in his condition? Same thing with this woman. People, I find it difficult to think that nobody, because it's not like these people are isolated, that nobody noticed anything different.
I mean, could it be similar to someone who would be considered a functioning illiterate? I can't really read, but I function fine. I appear fine. I seem fine. I present fine. And therefore, I'm okay.
Wait a minute. But you know what
I am not having a breakdown. I'm not having an episode, at least not visible to anyone. So I'm fine.
Okay, but what I'm saying...
And they might say, how are you doing? I'm fine.
But for example, you know, she's got a Facebook page, right?
Okay.
And there are people on the Facebook page. There are friends supposedly on this Facebook page.
Sure.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the posts, like I was saying, how did everything change on me? I went to sleep feeling fine, she wrote 4 days ago. Be gentle with yourself. You're doing the best you can. And it is not even in hindsight. But I wonder how many people on her Facebook page called or checked in on her to say, how are you doing? You know, last weekend I gave a presentation about depression. And one of the aspects of depression that I talked about was postpartum, which can appear. So, you know, she has a relatively young baby. So you don't know what's going on. You don't know what kind of support system that she had. But you wonder how many people called to say, how are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. They might or might not. I don't know. But, you know, her writing or saying, I'm doing the best I can, that's a normal statement for anyone, for mothers or whatever. You know, raising young children or babies, it's hard, it's stressful. You're up late at night, you don't get a lot of sleep, da, da, da. So I'm doing the best I can. I mean, if that in isolation is not a trigger.
Okay, so another piece of information, right?
Okay.
Which clearly her mother and other people around her.
She has a husband.
But look,
yeah.
An older child was taken away from her.
Oh,
and
she has other children.
She has at least one older child.
Okay.
And she previously knifed a family member.
Okay.
Right? So what I'm saying is, I think that there were some signs.
Yeah, and I mean, you have parents and you have brothers and sisters and cousins. You don't live in isolation, so people know your history.
All right. I think she went cuckoo on whoever was up there, a neighbor, 47. Set up the stabbing. She needs help. It doesn't make sense. I think she was on medication for whatever problem she had, but I'm assuming she wasn't taking her meds.
Hmm.
Right? So, and this is the neighbor.
Yeah.
So if the neighbor can know that much.
Husband.
Where's the husband? Where's the mother? Where's
mother,
her mother?
Father, the cousin, whatever.
She was a doting mother, but you don't know what caused her to snap. And clearly, if she has a history of mental illness, then people need to be more vigilant, to be more aware, to be more connected.
Nothing else is other concern for the child. Maybe they thought she was fine. I don't know. It's hard. And somebody who, and as you know, as somebody who's closer connected to folks and the idea and the, you know, mental illness as a whole, it's very deceptive, you know, where the person presents and says, I am fine. Are you okay? How are you doing?
Okay, but
you don't know that people are not asking. So, Mary, how are you doing? How are things going with the baby? I'm fine. It's a little difficult.
Okay.
It's hard sometimes, but I'm managing. I'm coping. I'm doing
fine. All
right,
fine. Wait a minute. So then let's turn a little bit to the Germanwings plane.
Okay.
Violet,
okay.
Who was diagnosed with severe depression, right? So he must have major depression.
Fact.
Right?
That's a fact.
He was diagnosed. And if that's the case, then this is somebody who apparently has physical things going on. He's losing his sight.
Okay.
And he had relationship problems going on.
Yeah, losing his sight is a part of it.
Right. It's significant.
Yeah.
And these are stressors that could really trigger him to feel like hopeless or helpless or really overwhelmed. And so I'm saying then, based on that history that he has, based on the fact that that it's a serious job that he has. And he has to be physically sound because he just had a physical. It stands to reason he needs to be mentally sound as well. So what efforts were put in by Lufthansa or by German Wings to ensure that he was mentally sound?
What's their protocol?
Yes. Where is it? Yeah. and the fact that they knew that he was diagnosed with major depression. He had to take time away. So it's not like minor depression or, you know, just slight depression or in just major depression. He had to take significant time away and then resume a few months later.
Right.
So that says that this impacts his ability to function significantly. So
must fly a plane.
And why the pilot who's with him didn't know that? That this man, first of all, maybe.
But should he have? But in terms of.
What do you mean, should he have known?
But that might be a dumb. I mean, I might. I don't know. I'm thinking, gosh, there's some amount of rights and patient privacy.
Okay, Raymond,
His illness is
then they can't fly him.
Exactly.
Then they can't fly him.
I mean, sharing that with. How would you feel as the pilot? Are you going to fly with him? Are you going to treat him differently? Are you going to marginalize him? No, you can't touch that. You shouldn't do that.
But maybe a certain level of awareness, a certain level of, you know, you'd be a little bit more observant probably.
I don't think so.
Yes, you would.
I don't think they should know. I mean, because he has his rights. The fact that he's ill or the fact that he has this, does not.
Raymond, but see,
he shouldn't fly.
But what I'm saying is, for example, he was given a note that says he should not work.
Right. So
they found that in the garbage.
So somebody should have enforced that.
Right. Or somebody should have informed
because they should have reported that.
That's what I'm saying.
They shouldn't have left it up to him to report himself and say, "Listen, I was given this note
that
I can't."
That's exactly my point. Yeah. Especially seeing that he has suicidal ideation. Oh. How can you say we have to protect his privacy when he may be placing others at risk?
No.
And clearly he did.
No, I'm not saying that no one should have known. I'm just saying the fact that, listen, you're being treated, you're seeing a psychiatrist, you're on medication, therefore the people you fly with should know that. I don't think so. I think if you are deemed not competent to fly, that's a totally different story. The people that put you on a schedule to fly, or your boss or your whatever, should be told he is not fit for duty. Whatever the protocol that says, do I have to disclose what fit for duty means, and so on and so forth, I leave that up to them. But if he is not fit for duty, he's not fit to fly, he should be taken out of the cockpit. In football, in the NFL, if you're not fit to go back into the game, they take your helmet away and you're no longer allowed back in the game. And the only person, primary person you can really hurt is you. Flying a plane is everybody. So the process, if the process is not in place for that to happen, it's flawed. If it was in place, shame on them, and they didn't follow their own protocol. But, so that's what I mean. I mean, to say, well, he's being treated, he has an illness, others need to know. If he's fit for duty, he's fit for duty. If he's not, he's not.
I mean, the thing about it is that there clearly are several failings. And this is by no means an easily understood situation. It's complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there were several failings. There were several failings. Because if he had significant suicidal ideation, I mean...
You're saying that because, what, that's now coming out?
Yeah.
Or his history? Is
yeah, with the significant depression, he had suicidal ideation.
Okay. And part of why they deemed him not fit for duty.
Yes. Yes. And
but does that... But does one then, as a mental health provider, does that then put any burden on those who knew and when they knew and what their responsibilities
were? Well, you
know
what? He probably didn't say, well, I'm going to fly the plane into the mountain.
I understand that. But he was deemed not fit for duty.
Yes. And I don't know, I don't know who deemed him not fit for duty, because that has not come out clearly as to which one of his providers said he's not able to fly.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, another step should have been taken. So giving him a note that says, bring this to your employer, you cannot go to work, right? If he was Ebola, right, they would have been assisting him to report it, right? Wouldn't there have been? He would have been quarantined, where they would have called
the
police.
The note would have been packaged.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Everything would
have been. So So and this is not. But what I'm saying is some level of and maybe it was the same thing. It was kind of like, well, it's his business.
Right, privacy.
He's entitled to his privacy.
I find it hard to believe that's how it works.
Well, clearly that's how it is. They found a note in the garbage.
Somebody needs some. Again, I mean, from a 30,000 foot view, and you say to yourself, you know, things that are, you know, if somebody broke their leg or had a heart attack, there are protocols to follow. It just seemed to me, as a layperson in this, mental illness is hard to, you know, the system, the world have a hard time dealing with it.
Yeah.
And how to best approach it. Granted, there's no one size fits all, it's individualized, and it has so many different implications and repercussions, but I think we need to invest. We as a world need to invest in trying to come up with a better way of responding to folks when they are ill.
But I think that, for example, if this gentleman was mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
severely depressed,
mm-hmm.
suicidal,
mm-hmm.
and then it subsided. Okay, so if you do a physical, you need to assess for this condition as well, because depression, especially if it's not treated, it can return. And so because he's functioning does not mean that he's fit.
Because he's functioning does not mean he's fit.
Doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he might have been struggling, and who knows what kind of stressors he was under, and was he taking medication, and what kind of medications was he taking, and you know, are those medications, do those medications impact his ability to fly? You know what I mean? So all of these questions, it seemed like it was just lax. The way that this was handled was really...
So I'm going to jump to something a little bit different in my thought process. One of the things you hear all the time when these things come up is, you know, underfunding of mental health. We need more resources so people have access and so on and so forth. Obviously, this man had access.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the issue. So even when there is access, even when they have the appropriate resource, even that is mishandled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of he doesn't have a doctor, he doesn't have insurance, he doesn't have whatever.
Access.
So it just sounds like everything mental health have so much work to be done on so many fronts.
You're right about that.
That is sad.
That there needs to be a lot of work done. Because it still comes with this whole heap of stigma, this whole heap of shame, and you know, it's sometimes it's either like people ignore it, or they, you know, treat it like it's this great big burden, right? So, because I think in this case that they kind of ignored it. It was kind of ignored.
The pilot.
Yeah, the problem, you know. Some people are speculating that because there's a great big world shortage of pilots, that it's almost like, you can't have, you know. Well,
who would have cut you on
he's
another.
Good enough. He's good enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Who wouldn't have made the cut before we could make it
he's,
now?
He's functioning, so he's good enough.
Mm.
You know, it's so I think that this is a wake-up call on so many levels because clearly he was unfit. And clearly he was, because it's not even like he was manic. He was calm the whole time. That means at any point he could have changed his mind. But he was resolute. So, you know, who knows what else is going on in his mind, you know, as he calmly sits there and breathes as the plane is approaching the mountain. And even with the pilot trying to beat on the door, he's just calm, not responding. He's just decided. So, you know, I mean, did he decide when the pilot got up to go to the bathroom that he wanted to kill himself and take these people with him? You know.
Did he get on the plane that day with that intent? Was it just in the moment the guy left to go use the bathroom and then the opportunity was there being alone in the cockpit? Who knows, right? But I think the damage was done long before he got on the plane. The system failed him, and the system failed everyone on the plane and all their family members. So that is, you know, you get frustrated because people who need help don't get the appropriate help because they don't have enough insurance, they're underinsured, they're uninsured, the mental health providers, they're all biased and they're prejudiced and the system is set up in such a way. But even when you have a system in place, the system is not even appropriate for the patients that they serve. That is just blows my mind, like I said. I don't care which hospital you go or which institution you go, if you break your leg, they're going to try and fix it as best they can.
And the thing about it is,
and there's a protocol for that.
Right. If he had any other condition,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because it's an invisible condition.
Right.
You can't say, well, you don't put a cast on it and say, well, he can't fly because his hand is broken.
Yeah.
But because it's an invisible condition.
Right.
I mean, it's really unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. But again, I say that you know, the network that exists around people has to be to play a role in it.
Yeah.
And so the stigma, I think, impacts it because if you have shame that your family member, your child, or your brother or sister is mentally ill, then you might hesitate to, you know, to report or to intervene or to do something.
You're shining light.
Right. You know, so the stigma does play a role. I mean, I just think it's really unfortunate. The one thing is that I hope that the conversation around mental illness is not one of blame, but rather one of, you know, how do we responsibly respond?
What do you mean one of blame?
What, you know, one of blame, where you look at, like the police officers is looking at this woman and saying she stole it. You know what I mean? Blaming the person, you know, when their condition is what is causing it. And you know what I mean? It's not, if they were in their right mind, they wouldn't do it. So I think that, you know, it's I really hope that it encourages more meaningful conversation around mental health and mental health conditions.
You brought up a good point, though, because if, let's just play out just in my mind, the significance, the role that family and extended friends and family play in the role of the bigger picture, right? Because if she was seeing someone and they were giving her medication to take and whatever,
somebody was making sure she was taking her medication.
Right, or taking her temperature, so to speak, her mental temperature, or seeing where she is, or just checking in on her. That sounds like it to me way more critical than going to the psychiatrist or whoever she was seeing, whether or not she was, you know. So, to your point, then, who was taking her temperature and what was the responsibility that they had?
And
in,
you
keeping
know,
her within those
and that's the important role, I think,
and
of family.
That's what needs to be
yeah.
advocated for.
That's
well.
The important role of
that's
family
right.
because especially when people are disconnected from reality, what they are experiencing
90 seconds
is real for them.
It's their reality.
Yeah, but it might not be connected to the real reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's other people who have to check in and help them and, you know, orient them. It's other people who have to do that. And I think that's an important consideration. So it's really unfortunate what's happened in these two cases. It really is sad. But I think, what I hope, that it encourages a more meaningful discussion about mental health. So,
60 seconds.
Oh, until next time.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.